good to gather where there's green pastures and still waters, where God's little sheep can gather in the fold and find fellowship with one another and find the truth of His Word. We just pray the Lord would continue to bless this meeting. Feel extremely blessed already with the song service and the sweet prayer that's been offered, and even the expressions of the needs of God's people that show that they believe, and that belief comes because of faith, which is the gift of God. That praying to the Lord is a worthwhile, a very important, not only worthwhile, but a very important activity. The Lord does indeed care, and He does hear, and He does answer our prayers. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't take the time to express the needs that have been expressed, and we wouldn't give those feelings out. And we even know the Lord intercedes for us through the Spirit, that when we forget and fail to mention those that we should remember and should mention, that the Lord intervenes and intercedes for us with even heart groanings, which we can't even utter. And we also know from the Scripture we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's why the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And that's a great comfort and consolation for me this morning. I know it. I'm just a little overwhelmed, a lot overwhelmed with His goodness this morning. How wonderful He's been to us. Think of the past and all the problems and troubles and good times as well as heartaches we've gone through. How the Lord has just been there. Even when at times we had seemed like we could not see Him or feel Him, we can look back and see His mighty hand working in our lives. It gives us reason this morning, or at least it should. It gives us every reason to trust Him today for what we need, for this moment, for this hour. Even as I stand before you and as you sit in that congregation, we have needs that we will have coming up. The Lord gives us those days. And many times He fills us up on Sunday for what we need on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and the rest of the week. And a lot of times we don't have a clue at times why we are given certain instruction, but then it comes back to us. Sometimes it comes back even months, even years later. And what a great blessing it is to know how wonderful God moves. Brother Charles just mentioned calling Brother Barney this morning on the phone, or really he actually asked how he was, and I had brought my phone in. Most of the time I always leave it in the car, and because I had it in my hand and we were here early, we hadn't turned the heat on this morning, so I wanted to get here early enough to give y'all, I wasn't worried about the heat, but I wanted to make y'all didn't come in and say, "Oh, it's too cold here," and leave. We wanted to have you comfortable, so we got here and was here early enough that I had my phone. Somebody might say he just happened to bring his phone in, and Brother Charles just happened to ask about Brother Barney, and I just happened to make that call and got Brother Barney while he was standing at church talking to Sister Lois. Heard her laugh. You know, as he mentioned, "I got one of your favorite people." And I said, I heard her laugh. I said, "Well, that's Sister Lois. I could tell that." But I got to talk to both of them. And it felt burdened last night to do that, make that call, and fail to do it. And then when I thought about it this morning, it was kind of late. And then the Lord works that out. We're able to hear His voice, His concern about going before the Lord's people and preaching the gospel. We're also able to hear her and talk with her a little bit. It just relieved a big burden off me. And I just thank the Lord that He moves in mysterious ways in our lives. Now, I know a lot of times we just have those events happen and we do just pass them by. We're kind of like, "Well, that just happened to be. We just happened to be there." Listen, I don't believe for a moment that every single event is ordered and predetermined by God, even including the sin of man. I don't believe that. But I believe in God's providential care. I believe in Him watching over us. I believe in Him taking us places we would have never gone. I believe in Him moving in our lives, watching over us, guiding us, directing us. a long life's way, keeping us out of harm's way, reaching in our very life, and there's nothing that surprises him. There's nothing that is not known to him. He is in control. He is the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our salvation. And I believe he has delivered us in the past. He is delivering us today, and we can look to him to deliver us in the future. And that's the kind of God we serve. He is an almighty, all-powerful, sovereign Lord. And we want to declare him as such. I'm very thankful this morning of how good he's been to us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians this morning, beginning right with verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading there. We'll probably read probably down through about verse 15 and 16. If the Lord continues to lead our minds in the way we're thinking, we'll want to look at these verses individually as the Lord would bless us. But reading in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "I therefore," and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Here the Apostle Paul is laying out the duty and the responsibility of the little child of grace to walk in the vocation wherewith he is called or she is called in a way that's worthy, that's honoring and glorifying unto the Lord. Paul says he's the prisoner of the Lord. I love going back over in the Acts of the Apostles and reading about the conversion, the work of grace, and the life of the Apostle Paul, that hard religious man Saul, who was going about to do everything he could to take the very lives of those who were naming the name of Christ. He thought it was God's will that he should do all the harm that he could to anyone who named the name of Christ. That was what his religion had taught him. That is what he felt he should be doing. That was where his zeal was. And the Lord took that man that was such an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of God's children, and he struck him down as he walked on the road to Damascus, going to persecute the Lord's people. And he turned him completely around, and he led him to go preach to those people that he once hated. And the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name he wanted to destroy from the face of the earth, became one of the sweetest names that was ever heard in the ears of the Apostle Paul. He said, even for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul felt to be a prisoner of the Lord. And I know he was a prisoner even as he probably wrote the book here, or the letter to the church at Ephesus. He was under persecution he wasn't a prisoner because he'd done something wrong, but he was a prisoner because he had been faithful in teaching and preaching the gospel, so much so that he had been beaten and he had been taken into where his freedom was taken away. He had suffered a great deal at the hands of men because he was trying to was doing that which a God of heaven had called him to do. But none of that had caused him to stop, but rather it had encouraged him to continue on. And even here he writes as a prisoner of the Lord. I don't believe it was just because of the natural state of being a prisoner that he wrote that. I believe in a sense every one of us can be applying that very idea and thought in our lives. If you're here today because the Lord has touched your heart and tended your heart, if you're here today because you need the Lord and you feel that need in your heart, if you're here today because you know Him and you love Him and you have a desire to come and worship Him, if you sing the songs of Zion to honor and praise the name of the Lord, and you need to hear from His Word and you need to feed from the truth of His Word, if that is your case this morning, somewhere along the way the Lord struck you down as well. Could have happened in your mother's womb, but it happened sometime. And brought you out of a state that you were in that you could have not gotten out of. And put you in a place where now you who are a prisoner to sin have been made a prisoner of the Lord. You've been taken captive. He's reached down and grabbed you. He has called from on. You have a calling that's come from on high. You didn't get a local call. You didn't get a calling that just the minister makes. Yes, the minister makes a call. The gospel makes a call. We call and we cry and we comfort ye my people. We preach the gospel of peace. We tell about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We tell about the depravity of man, that man is completely unable to save himself, that he's lost and he's dead, even in trespasses and in sins. And if it was left to him to get himself out of that, he's in a captivity, he's in a place he could not recover himself. Not only does he would he not be able to get himself out of it, he doesn't even want to get out of it. He's as happy in sin as a pig is in a pig pen. He isn't looking for some way of getting out, some recovery. He just wants to live longer and lap up more of what this old world offers. But somewhere along the line, for God's little children, a change happens. A change you may have thought even you had something to do with. I know some of God's children who thought they had something to do with it. You know, they made that decision for the Lord. They made that decision to serve the Lord. They decided in their life to turn their lives around. But see, what they feel in their heart and see from that came because of something that was made a long time before they ever made any change in their life. They would have never changed. They would have never heard. They would have never believed. They would have never been concerned. They would have never been troubled. They would have never wanted anything other than what the old world and the lust of their flesh would give them. They were, and we are by nature, that as Paul has already told them, the children of wrath, even as others. And the only thing we were concerned about is fulfilling the old lust of the flesh until the Lord comes and arrests us. You know, you're arrested. And the arrest isn't something that isn't done by... Somebody said, well, he won't... Tell me he doesn't work and those who don't want him to work. Tell him, was the Apostle Paul going on the road to Damascus looking for the Lord? Or was he going to look to harm any of those who named the Lord? I'm telling you, when the Lord struck him down, he didn't need my help or your help or even the agreement of the Apostle Paul. He made him willing in the day of his power. And whether that was a regeneration experience or whether it was a conversion experience, we might debate that over and over. I've got my own feelings about that, but I know the Lord knows. And I know there are sometimes his children think they're serving him and they're laboring hard to serve him and they're doing the wrong thing. Listen, I believe there was a time in my life I thought I was doing the right thing and what I was doing according to what I understood at the time. And my heart was right and I thought I was serving God, but I wasn't. Because I didn't understand how it is I'm supposed to serve him and what it is I was supposed to do. And there was no real peace within. I was trying to get right with God on my own terms. You ever been there? I know some of you have. I was trying to live good enough, act good enough, behave good enough, go to church enough, listen to the Lord enough, that I might have peace in my heart about my salvation. Why was I concerned about my salvation? If it had not been God who had worked in me, that the understanding that I needed him, I would have never been concerned about it. I wouldn't have been trying to do any of those things. There are many people today that are God's children that have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And they're going about today trying to find peace with the Lord, but they're trying to do it on their own terms. They're not doing what the Scripture says. I wasn't doing what the Scripture says in submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God, but I was seeking to establish my own righteousness. And I'd try to be good enough, go to church, and I'd listen, do what they tell me to do, and then go home. And then when I would even do it, I found there was so much wrong within. And I had no peace. The Apostle Paul thought he was serving God as he went along the way, but he was struck down. And then he was made a prisoner of the Lord. And when the Lord, and you can read about this in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord turned him around, he sent him to one who had been given the ability by Almighty God to tell him what to do. He told him about his calling, what the Lord would have him to do, and he sent him over there to a man. An old Baptist preacher over there didn't even want to see the Apostle Paul. And I wouldn't have probably wanted to see him either with the reputation he had. He was locking up Baptist preachers. He was locking up anyone who named the name of Christ. He was one who had a reputation. And when he said, Ananias, I'm sending Paul, he said, oh, I've heard some things about Saul. And he said, no, he had been arrested. When the Lord brings you into being his prisoner, he works a work of grace in you and your heart gets changed. You get a new want to. You get a new desire. You get a new appetite. You get ability to see things you could not see. You get an eye that's not just the natural eye, but an eye of faith. You get an ear, not just a natural ear, but an ear of faith. You get a heart that is just doesn't know about the things of the spirit of man, but the spirit of God which dwells has come in and take up and its abode in your heart. Gives you a heart to understand those things. And what you used to find so much delight in, all of a sudden, it doesn't just hold that great joy that it once did. You begin to see things differently. Sometimes people think, well, I changed my mind. I just changed my ways. Listen, if you've changed, truly changed, it's God who changed you. And I'd much rather have it be the God of heaven who changed me than me who changed myself. Because see, if I change myself, I might change myself back the other way. I might just turn and go back the other way. And I might be saved. And some believe this. I might be saved today and lost tomorrow. Listen, we can sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, because if he's worked a work of grace in you, that work that he's put in your heart, he who is the author of eternal salvation has worked eternal salvation in your heart. And by its very definition, eternal is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's eternal. And you've been made the prisoner of the Lord. Was it a good thing to be a prisoner? Well, I hope you say amen to that. I'm glad. I believe you who love the Lord here, I believe with all my heart, you are the prisoners of the Lord. You were chosen, and the Apostle Paul has spent three chapters telling them about this wonderful message. He said, you were chosen in Christ when? Before the very foundation of the world. That in him you have the forgiveness of sins. In him you have redemption.
In Him you have the hope. He has abounded to you in all wisdom and prudence. He has worked in you, quickened you, made you alive. You are His workmanship, He says in chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Now the Apostle Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation wherewith ye are called. God's children have a walk to walk in this world. You have a life that the Lord's got before you. You don't know what it is. We don't even hardly know who we are, do we? But we know that if we're His children, He has called us with a holy calling. He has called us with a heavenly calling. He has called us and quickened us and made us alive. He saved us. He's redeemed us. He's washed us in His blood. And now He's given us the wonderful, joyous responsibility of living in a way to honor and glorify Him in our lives. We're to do that as we're the husbands that we're supposed to be in our families. We're to do that as we're the wives. We're to do that as we are whatever walk we are in our lives. We are not responsible to serve the flesh, because the old flesh has never done anything but make us sick. We are responsible to serve the Lord. We are responsible to give Him the glory. We are accountable unto Him to live our lives in a way to bring honor and glory unto Him, not in order to become His children, but because He's called us with this. We are the prisoners of the Lord, and He's called us under this wonderful walk, this wonderful fellowship. Listen, sheep belong in the pasture. Sheep need to be by the still waters. Sheep need the food that comes from God's Word. Sheep need to spend time among the flock. Sheep need to feed in the Word of God. They need to be at the prayer, looking to the Good Shepherd in prayer, praying unto Him. Sheep need the Shepherd. Sheep need other sheep. Sheep need all the blessings that only sheep need. This book is full of sheep food. The Apostle Peter was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep." And we do that as we love the Lord. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And that walking worthy doesn't mean we get high-minded and heady. Matter of fact, it means just the opposite. Remember that the Old Testament says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. What the Lord does when He works a work of grace in our hearts, He gives us a new He gives us a new way to operate in this world. He gives us a new way to function, a new way to think. That headiness and that high-mindedness, though we got it in our own nature, needs to be put off the old man with his deeds. And we're to walk in the new man who is meek and humble. And oh, how the world, the world, you even look up the word meek in the dictionary and it's got a negative connotation. It says it's one who basically has no self-assurance. It says humble without self-assurance or spirit. Does that sound like a good thing? And you read Webster's dictionary and it says, without self-assurance and spirit. You know, that just described God's little lambs and God's little sheep. Blessed are the what? The heady and high-minded in spirit. Is that what the Bible says? But it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean? Well, the Apostle Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. It is when I'm down that I'm up. It's when I'm low that I'm mighty. It's when I see in myself and know in myself that I have no strength and I have no ability and I cannot trust in myself that I'm truly the one who has the ability to walk as I should and ought in this world, because I stopped trusting in me. You have trouble trusting, stop trusting in yourself. You know, as much as I know that my thoughts aren't like they ought to be, my ideas about it are wrong. As much as the Bible has told me that over and over, old Gary still wants his way in a whole lot of stuff in my life. Maybe you are that way too. If you are, you have to remember it's not my way, but it's his way. It's not my thoughts. My thoughts are not like his thoughts. My ways are not like his ways. As Isaiah say, as high as the heavens are above the earth, his thoughts are and ways are above our thoughts and ways. And that's why we're told to lean not on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our heart. And as we face life and its troubles, it's so much easier when we understand I don't have to have it all figured out. You ever felt like I just need it all figured out? I know some of you do, because I've talked with you. You're sharing with me in this. One is straightened out. I'm a fix-it kind of person. I hear about something, I want to fix it. I want to straighten it out. And what a mess I can make out of things when I try to fix them. When I intervene. And I'm not saying we don't do what God told us to do. There's a responsibility. It's not set back, let everything, you know, just happen around you. God's going to take care of it. God is not going to do for you that which He has given you to do. But until He tells you to do something, don't do anything. Until He leads you, don't go running. Until He guides you. That's one of the greatest hardships I have as I come to the stand. A lot of times I want to come having it all figured out. I want to be able to say just the right thing at the right time to the right people and just have it all that way. And I've learned that when I do that, I just make a mess of the effort. And the brethren go away unfed, and I go away ashamed. So what happens is I got to come and I say, Lord, please bless me to feed these little lambs and these little sheep. Lord, give me the scripture. Lord, give me the words. Lord, give me those things that can only come from Thee that will meet the needs of God's little children, because your needs are great. I want you to tell you, your God is great. Your God is mighty. He's loved you enough. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for you. He loved you before the very foundation of the world. There is nothing that's going to be able to separate you from Him and His love for you and His watch care for you. You are His sheep. You are precious in His sight. And though you are nothing in yourselves, in Him, you have the ability to do whatever He would lead you and guide you and direct you to do, even unto death. And every day, every single day, sister, He loads you with benefits. Have you seen Him today? Do you believe it's a benefit that we can today believe if we die, we'll be able to go to be with the Lord in glory rather than spend an eternity in hell? Is that a benefit? That's a benefit for me, brother. Because I've had a fear and a burden in my heart in the past that I would leave this world and spend my life in torment because of my sins that I had committed against the Lord. And my sins, though somebody might look on it and say, that little boy, he was a good little boy. Listen, I know Gary Utes. I know what kind of boy he was. And you, somebody might have said, this was a... Listen, he would tell a lie in a minute. Am I proud of that? Absolutely not. But I'm saying to you that that little boy is just like, and you say, well, you know that little boy, anybody, who will tell a lie? I'll tell you what we all would be without the grace of God. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. And if there was a change made, I believe it was made when I was a young man, in the early days of my life, and I carried a burden and a fear that I was going to be cast away from Him forever, and I lived for years being concerned about that, and I heard preaching, so-called preaching, that told me that I needed to do this and I needed to do that. I didn't come up under the sounds of grace. Oh, you dear ones who've lived under the message of grace all your life, thanks be to the Lord that you've heard that message over and over again, and some of the things I feel are foreign to you because you've never heard those messages that would tell you if you don't do this or do that, you're going to be cast away forever. And I'd hear those things and I already knew that I was in trouble. You see, they wouldn't have meant anything. For a while they didn't mean anything to me because it didn't bother me. But then when I began to hear, really hear, by the grace of God, I became so concerned. Couldn't sleep. I just forget it, try to put it out of my mind, forget it for a while, but the Lord just kept bringing it back up. And when I first was able to come and hear salvation by grace, that Jesus died, that he paid the sin debt, that he and was able to. I really read it in Scripture before I heard it, but always was good to hear it. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to read it in the Word, but it's also a wonderful thing to hear those things you've read in the Word confirmed that salvation is by the grace of God. My hope in being with the Lord in heaven isn't because I did this or that or some other thing. It's in what Jesus did for me at Calvary some 2,000 years ago when he paid a sin debt I could not pay. And he washed me in his own blood. And it's good news to me today that those things have been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. So that if I die and leave this world, I'll be with him forever in glory. And if that's the case, is he going to let me down while I live? And if that's the case, why would I ever want to think of living any way other than to honor and glorify him? And why wouldn't I trust him? Is there a reason we should not trust him? And the answer to that is absolutely not. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Meekness is to have no trust and dependence in yourself, but to trust in the Lord. Listen, that's a powerful man who walks. It's a powerful woman who walks in meekness. You think of those most important people in your life, you'll see in them, most often, you'll see in them that spirit of meekness. It's not the one who thinks he's everything that you listen to. You already know he's just a puff of wind. He's just talking. Sometimes it's us, we hear bouncing back when we talk like that. And you know, God's little children don't get away with it. You ever gotten real huffed up in yourself and started a real good argument and thought, boy, you really won that, and walk away all puffed up and then have the Lord just knock the socks out of you because of things you said and things you did and the way you thought, enough so you can't hardly wait to get back to where you've acted like such an idiot so you can say, I'm sorry, I've sinned and come short. Sorry, forgive me. I'll tell you, I trust being in the Lord and what he's done for us. You walk in power when you turn it over to the Lord. You let the Lord take care of it. Listen, the Lord, and I say let him, he will take care of it. But you submit to that. You submit to his authority. You submit to his power. You recognize this is too big for me. I'm worrying about this. And it's troubling me, but it's too big for me. The Lord is able. He will supply that which is needed. If I am to go through some trouble, he'll give me the ability to go through the trouble. And let me do it, Lord, for thy name's sake and for thy honor and for thy glory. Let me live my life and die my death in a way to honor and glorify the Lord rather than live for me and what I want. You're talking about an empty life when we're just living for our own selves. And I'll tell you, the joy to God, for God's little children, the best thing in our lives is to be a prisoner of the Lord. And it's just amazing what he does. He says, with all lowliness and meekness. So I'm telling you this morning to walk in all lowliness and meekness. Lowly in the sense of myself and self and who you are, thinking of others better than yourself. When does your family get in trouble? When you're thinking of others better, more than yourself, or when you're thinking of yourself more than others? When do you get in trouble in this world? Listen, God, you can have trouble in the house of God when people start thinking more of themselves than they ought. When people get too smart to listen to this one or to that one, or get too wise to listen to those little voices. Listen, some of the smartest things that have been said here today have probably been said from the mouths of some of these little babes, because they speak innocent, wonderful things that the Lord can give them. Listen, the Lord touches a heart. There's more preaching done with the walk of God's children than they are with the mouth of preachers at times when God's little children walk in such a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And I love to hear the preaching of the gospel, but I love to see sermons lived in the lives of the Lord's people too. That honors and glorifies him. They walk with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That means we've got to put up with one another. I've got to put up with you. You've got to put up with me. That doesn't mean you just forget and you don't warn, you don't exhort. We're to reprove one another. We're to exhort one another. We're to love one another. If we see one of us messing up, we're to go to them. But we don't go to kick them or put them down. We go to lift them up and we go to encourage them. Listen, sin is sin. And when God's little children get wrapped up in sin, they need to be warned. They need to be reproved. They need to be corrected. That's why when you come to church, you don't just want to hear smooth things all the time. You don't want to just get your ears scratched and your back patted like a little old dog that comes up to, you know, get his back rubbed. You want to know what I need to hear. And I need some correction along the way. And we need to, in love, correct one another and guide one another and direct one another. Now, how do we do that? By the Scripture. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Open rebuke. I often think of that verse as better than secret love. If somebody, sometimes, my wife really loves me. Sometimes I get some good, plain, open rebuke. None of you going amen right now, but you're thinking it. It doesn't always come the most loving way, but it should be that way. Listen, we're going to have sometimes hard things to say to one another. I hope I love you enough, and I hope you love me enough that we can talk like that. We can say, brother, listen, you are to live in a way to honor the Lord, and I'm to live in a way that honor the Lord. And when I'm doing something that's contrary to His Word, I'm dishonoring Him. I'm dishonoring the one who loved me enough, He died for me. I'm dishonoring the one who has nail prints in His hands because of His love for me. I'm dishonoring one who loved me in eternity. If you can say it that way, before the foundation of the world, the Father who sent His Son. Oh, you mothers holding these little ones, you wouldn't let your child die for anybody. You'd be fighting for them. But he gave His only begotten Son, and He had a great love for His Son. The Son came willingly, and He died on the tree of the cross, and He bore agony and pain. He bore my hell. So that I wouldn't have to be that little boy that was afraid, not only afraid, but would have ended up in hell had it not been for the grace of God. I'm telling you, that's where we would have been. But His love was so great, He removed that consequence. He brought us out of that captivity. He led captivity captive. He brought it so you're not any longer bound for that place, but you'd rather have another place. Oh, how sweet heaven sounds. Doesn't it sound like a wonderful place to be? To be with the Lord. Do you long someday to see Him? Do you long just to thank Him? Do you long just to sing to Him in a way that's pure and clear, where you never forget a verse, or you pay attention to every word? You know, you have a good song and you're singing that song, and when you can really feel it, there's nothing better than singing those songs that give honor and glory to the Lord when you feel them. But there are sometimes we're so cold we go through the words, and maybe as I did this morning, we could even skip a verse. You say, well, that's just the weakness of the flesh. Well, it is. But I long for that time when I'll be just as attentive to every word. I need Him. You see, I need Him. I've been standing before God's people long enough now that I could probably stand here and just talk for a while. But if I don't feel His presence, I need Him to be able to speak and honor and glorify His name. And when we can feel His presence, isn't it a wonderful thing when you can feel Him with us and He feeds you? He says we're to walk with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Here, we may not get past this third verse. He says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, we have one Lord to serve. He doesn't change His mind and become another Lord for somebody over here and another Lord. He's not a Lord that says, well, you can worship me any way you want or do anything you want or believe anything you want. He's not just a big granddaddy that's in the sky. He is the sovereign God of heaven. He is the one who rules and reigns omnipotent. He is everywhere present. He is nowhere absent. He is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. This Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the tree of the cross. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing His rules. He's not having us come together and vote on them or make up our mind what it is we're going to believe. He's left His Word. We have one faith. It's left here in His Word that we're to... He's given us faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit, that we're able to believe it. But He's also given us the body of truth that He has laid down, and He's not going to change His Bible based on the whims of men. We're to believe what He says in His Word. And you and I are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means we need to labor at it. How do we keep the unity of the Spirit? So try the spirits to see whether they be of God or whether they're not. We're to walk in the teachings of His Word in accord to His Word. We're to declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do appreciate your kind prayers. When you have a mind to pray, please remember me. Two under three. Love you, my brother.